This audio presentation is a teaching of Pastor Scott Chiroma of New Hope, East Hawaii. In his message titled, Gaining New Strength, Pastor Scott speaks about the strength of God and how we can find strength through Him. This message was recorded on Sunday, January 24th, 2016. Here now is Pastor Scott.
It is so nice to see all of you here today. You must not be Denver or Patriots fans, huh? That's why I'm here. No, just kidding. How many of you are football fans? And how many of you are here because you are praying for your team? For next season, yeah? Just like me, man. But hey, I got good news, man. I heard the Rams are moving back to L.A. Woo. Yeah, so everybody can use that chant again, beat L.A. Just kidding. But you know, it's really nice to see all of you here, even though, I mean, today is the AFC, NFC championship games. I thought one was going to be yesterday, and when they found out it wasn't yesterday, oh, I got so much accomplished. Yeah, because, you know, sometimes I can sit down almost all day and watch ESPN, you know, really. And if there's nothing interesting in the sports, I'll find, you know, well, if there's no, like, football, baseball, basketball, I'll even watch golf or tennis or even soccer, because something about sports just kind of like wows me. And well, today, brand new day, and we're talking about strength. I remember when I was younger, yeah, man, I could do so much thing. I could carry stacks of lumber, move refrigerators and stoves, and I could fish all day and all night and just keep going. I had the strength. And shoot, nowadays as I got into this age, I don't know if I can do 10 push-ups anymore or 10 sit-ups. I mean, it's gotten difficult. I think I've gotten physically, I know I've gotten weaker, but spiritually I know I'm gaining new strength. But there are times, you know, when I look at my life and I say, I'm sometimes really glad that I don't have a college degree. But there are times that I wish I did. But what I'm trying to say is, you know, if I'm all that smart, if I'm you know, 6 feet tall and handsome, if I could play the drums like that and the ukulele, If I could sing like Pastor Aaron, preach like Pastor Alex, then I would be like, wow, I got it. I don't need anything else. I got this. Not to say that these guys didn't need the Holy Spirit, but they do. But man, if I had everything and if I was all that good looking and handsome and strong, where would that leave me? Maybe I'd be so prideful that, you know, God would have to humble me. But I realize that because I am me, and because I'm the way that I am, you know, I really need God. I remember the first time I was asked to move that pulpit at the big church. You know, most people don't even pay attention to the guy moving the pulpit, but I was so scared just to carry that thing from the side to the front and put it on the stage. I thought I was going to fall flat on my face, bust my nose, and look really silly. And I was like, shoot, God, I cannot do this. I can lift it, but man, what am I? I mean, I cannot move that in front of all these people. I was scared. I really was. And I thought, like, man, I need you, Lord. And then I remember when I was first asked to read a scripture, and I was like, man, Lord, my reading is so bad. Man, I'd be, and I would stutter. I would misread words. And I was thinking, like, shoot, I was terrified. And I was thinking, like, man, I'm going to go up there, and I'm going to sound like a fool. And you know, I was thinking, shoot, I need to depend on God and the Holy Spirit to do all these things that I was asked to do. And I couldn't do it on my own strength. So sometimes that's why I think, man, I don't have that college degree, which sometimes is good because now I really got to study harder and trust God more. I'm not big, bold, and, you know, like intimidating, so I got to trust God more. I mean, if I was 6 feet tall and I spoke with a thundering voice and I would command respect, that's all I'd need. But because I'm 5 feet three and probably related to Zacchaeus, you know, I need the Holy Spirit because my voice cracks and it's not one of those big thundering voices. But I get to trust God. Here's the thing I want to get to you. Number one, we have help to do God's work here. We have help. God is not asking you to do something and just kick you out the door and say, go do it. He's going to give you what you need to do what he's asking you to do. He sent me out of the picture. Sometimes I say they kicked me out, making fun. But they sent me out. God sent me out to do something. But he didn't send me out by myself. He gave me what is called the helper. Amen. Oh, and man, if I didn't have the helper, I'd be dead in the water. So many times in our walk as Christians, we are asked to step out of our comfort zone. And I believe that's why Jesus said this in John 16:7. But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. You know, if Jesus didn't die, he could not remove our sins. He could not rise again and defeat death. If he did not go back to the Father, the Holy Spirit would not come. And Christ, see, Jesus Christ, his presence on earth was limited to one place at a time, even if he was God. But when he left, when he went back to the Father, it meant that now he could be present to the whole world through the Holy Spirit. Right here, right now, say amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit is also known as the comforter, right? Give us comfort. Some of you have a comforter that you sleep with, right? And just picture this. Remember this past summer? This year was the hottest year this year that was recorded. Now, if it was in the middle of summer, how many of you would need the comforter? No way. You wouldn't even need clothes, right? But if it's cold, like now, it's really nice, so you use the comforter. But if you, sitting here right now in your Christian walk, nice and comfortable, you know, you don't have to worry about preparing a message. You don't have to worry about serving in the children's ministry. You don't have to worry about doing anything. Are you comfortable? If you're comfortable, why would you need the comforter? Man, every week I get out here, I get uncomfortable. I tell you that. Every Saturday night I get uncomfortable because I know that I need to be up here. And so I beg the Holy Spirit, I need you. I need this comforter. And so if we're comfortable, then what need would we have for the comforter? Sometimes we've got to step out of our comfort zone so that we can feel the full effect of the comforter. You know, as I reflect upon the things that I was asked to do, from moving the pulpit to reading a scripture, I say, like Pastor Alex, thank you for challenging me. Because if he didn't, I would still be sitting in my comfortable soft seat, which then I wouldn't have experienced what I've experienced now. I mean, all of those people who challenged me to step out in faith and do something, from teaching discipleship class to doing announcements and offering, man, I am glad that they asked me. And more so, I am glad that I was obedient. And I got to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. And even if we never choose to get uncomfortable, we may never experience that power. And I can tell you from my experiences, coming up in front of people, doing things, going places, praying for people, being uncomfortable, the experience that I have with the Holy Spirit, man, is just like this much. Why? Because I read the Bible and I see what people have done, and I know there is that much more out there for me and for you regarding having power in the Holy Spirit. You know, in this world, you know, people strive to be more and more comfortable. They strive to make their life problem-free as possible, avoiding situations that cause strife. You know, Pastor Alex told me a long time ago, there's two lines, the blessing line. Oh, and that blessing line feels like you're in Disneyland. You look in, it's like, oh, that to get to the front is so far away. And then there's a problem-solving line. That line is short. Nobody wants to stand in that line. How many of you want to stand in the problem-solving line? One. Right. See, Pastor Alex challenged me, Brian, you got to stand in this problem-solving line. We need more people to stand in this line. And I was like, man, I agree. We do. We need to be peacemakers and problem solvers. We need to be Daniels, right? And not run away. Armor of God, there's nothing in your back. There's nothing covering your back. Why? Because we're not running away, right? I know God got your back. That's why this is nothing on your back. But if you get shot in the back, that means you're running away. We ain't running. We're going forward. We're marching. We're conquering new ground. We're defeating the enemy. We're breaking strongholds. Amen. We're moving forward. We're gaining new strength. Have you ever noticed that the battle isn't always to the strong or the race to the fastest one? But in life, man, that is the way people bet. They bet on the Patriots and the Broncos. They don't bet on the Rams unless they're giving you 50 points, and even that might not be good enough. But in life, that's how we bet. That if we was a gambling person, we would bet on L to catch the most fish when we go fishing, right? And you would bet on Scott to clean it. Right? That's what it is. But we're not. Okay. So in life, the battle goes to the strong, the swift. That is until you read the scripture. When you open these pages of the Bible, everything changes. Okay? Time after time in scripture, you find this. And I got to soak this in for a little while. You find this. The battle goes to the little guy. Yeah. How many of you 5 feet three? Raise your hand, because the battle goes to... Yes. Yes. Well, who did Zacchaeus Jesus call? That little guy who couldn't even see? He had to climb a tree to go see Jesus. And what? Jesus said, come, I'm going to your house to eat tonight. Yeah, bypass all the tall guys. Yeah. I have to soak that in for a little while because, man, not often I get to brag about the little guys. But when you open the Bible, Genesis, we're reading Exodus. Look at Moses. He walks into the court of the most powerful ruler of that day. And what does he have? He has a machine gun. He has a stick. A stick. Now, that stick could do you good if he was like Bruce Lee or something. But this is, he walks into the most powerful room, the ruler of that world, and he has a stick. Yeah? You, You look at Gideon. He is facing off against thousands and thousands of ruthless warriors with what? An army of 300 men. Yeah. Then you look at David, the shepherd boy, against Goliath. You know, again and again in Scripture, the little guy beats the big guy. Yeah. Watch, I'll get licking from the big guys after church. But if we little guys stick together, we got them. Might, money, power, position mean nothing. The weak guy, the little guy, still wins. Why? Because these little guys serve God. Not to say that the big guys never won, but these little guys, these insufficient guys, these weak, powerless, humble guys have an advantage. They have God. Yeah? They have God on their side. And God is bigger than anyone else. Amen? Number two, victory goes to the side that God is on. And I know God is on your side. Amen? In 2 Chronicles, we are told the story of the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, who comes down out of the north with this powerful army. He has licked nation after nation. And now he comes to Jerusalem and he surrounds them, intending to bring it to its knees. He stands at the wall of the city and begins taunting the people of Israel, saying this in 2 Chronicles 32. Who was there among all the gods of the nations which my fathers utterly destroyed? Who could deliver his people out of my hand, that your God should be able to deliver you from my hands? Now, therefore, do not listen to Hezekiah, because Hezekiah was telling them otherwise, yeah? Do not let Hezekiah deceive you or mislead you like this. And do not believe him, for no god of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people from my hand or from the hand of my fathers. How much less will your God deliver you from my hand? So he was like, man, I gave everybody else licking. Nobody can stand up against me. And then God kind of like, he smiles, oh yeah? He sends one angel to do battle. And before the night was out, 185,000 of his men, his best soldiers, lay dead on the ground. And Sennacherib was forced to return home disgraced. And his own sons assassinated him while he was in his temple. The Bible message, the message is this. The guy who trusts in God can whip any guy on the block. Because God is bigger than anyone else. Amen? Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? When Paul writes that God told him, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness, Paul concludes that when I am weak, then I am strong. There is power to be found in walking with Jesus. There is power to be found in living close to God. Because I am weak, God is strong. Now that truth, that I am weak, it kind of makes me do something that I wouldn't do if I were strong. It causes me to depend on God. My strength in life comes from walking close to God. And when I rely on my own strength to do life, that's when I fail. miserably. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, I gain his strength, his power, his ability to deal with difficulties of this life. And I gain that only because I walk close to him. Yeah, I mean, you, any of you ever lifted weights, done strength training? I mean, I've done enough of that in my lifetime to know that I don't know what I'm doing. Really. You know how you go to a gym, it's all these mirrors right on the wall. Get the weight. I swear, doing that, looking in the mirror, oh, proud, I dropped the weight right on my toe. Oh, like, first you check if anybody watching. Okay, put the weights back. I swear, I walked to the locker room. I went in the shower and I left. My toe was purple. My toenail. Oh, and it was throbbing. And I had to go to work. And the pain was so intense that I needed to go to the doctor. And my boss would not let me go. You're training and you get hurt. So I go to the doctor, and you know what he does? He gets the needle and he drills a hole in the top of my toenail, and the blood goes, psst, and then the pain is gone. But I've done enough strength training where I know I don't know what I'm doing. I either get hurt or I twist something. Every bench presser had the weight stuck on your chest. You're like, oh, shoot. You're going like, help. But you know, like, you'll help because you get too much pride. I've done enough of that to know I don't know what I'm doing. So the thing is, when we do things like that, what do? Well, we get one trainer, right? Smart. You get somebody to train you. You know, all these professional golfers, boxers, fighters, baseball players, they have a trainer. You know, it's not like Tiger Woods doesn't need a trainer. They all need somebody to train them. It's funny, but why couldn't the trainer play as good as them? I don't know why, but they're good at training. And we all need a trainer. I need a trainer, somebody to train me to do what is right. And that's what the Holy Spirit is, like your comforter, your helper, your trainer. And when you read the Bible, man, I tell you, you learn so many things. It kind of teaches you and trains you. When it comes to our spiritual strength training, sometimes we think, I can do this on my own. And I believe you can try, but it's just difficult. You know, because when you're down and you're by yourself, there's nobody really to pick you up. We either end up hurting or hurting somebody. And sometimes it's good, you know, to have somebody who is knowledgeable to help you understand the Word of God, to help you apply the Word of God, to help encourage you. Too often, we want God's strength, but we think we can do it on Himself, and we don't need His help. One reason we need to understand the truth of why we are weak and He is strong. And you're not going to realize this until you realize that you are weak. Sometimes we tend to live our Christian life backwards. We tend to live as if, you know what, God needs me on Sunday to set up chairs and He needs me to collect the tithes and offering, and not the other way around. We tend to believe that God needs our time and talent, treasures, in order to survive. We believe that God depends on us far more than we depend on Him. Because sometimes I think God couldn't do church without us. I tell you what, if I thought like that, then God would I would not be here. God doesn't need me. Because the moment I step off this platform, somebody else, God will call and fill this spot. In 2 Corinthians 12, we find Paul was tempted with that feeling. And to keep from being conceited, he said, because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Imagine Paul, and I love Paul. He was a Pharisee. He got knocked off his horse. His life got transformed. When he spoke, people listened. He wrote half the New Testament. Could you imagine? Oh, man, if I wrote half the New Testament and I started all these churches, shoots, my head might be so big that it wouldn't fit in this room. Imagine, so he got this thing tormenting him, and we don't know what it was, but it prevented him from exalting himself. Because I think if any of us accomplished as much as Paul did, you would be saying, I don't need to listen to Pastor Scott. I know more than him. I don't need to be in church because I know more than all these pastors. I did it. I've done it all. And, you know, he is given visions of paradise. He saw and heard things that he wasn't permitted to tell us about it. I mean, who wouldn't be have a little bit of pride if you'd done all that things? And probably Paul's pride would have gotten in God's way. And people would have said, well, Paul, you did this, you did that, you did this, you accomplished this, you saved thousands of people. But God allowed something to happen to Paul where that Paul said that my strength comes from when I'm weak and it's all God. So we need to remember that we are weak for three reasons. Because we are. And because if we don't, we'll risk falling into temptation of pride. And if we don't remember our weaknesses, we'll miss out on one of the greatest truths of Scripture. That the strength of Christ's kingdom is built upon weakness. Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And this truth about Christ's kingdom, the strength of Christ's kingdom is built upon weakness. Not God's weakness, no, but ours. Look at 2 Corinthians 13:4. For indeed he was crucified because of weakness. Yet he lives because the power of God. For we are also weak in him, yet we will live with him because of the power of God directed toward you. Man, the more I think I'm strong and smart, the more I realize I am not. The more I think that I'm arrived, the more I realize, man, I got a long way to go. And the moment I tell myself that I am there and I got it, that's the moment right before the fall. Jesus' power was made perfect in weakness. Jesus became weak so that we could become strong. Jesus wants to display his power in your weakness. I mean, if you went to the world and said, oh, I'm so weak, they will look at you and they're going to probably try to stomp on you and step on you and kick you down and stuff like that. But man, in the Christian world, when we can display our weakness and let God be glorified, like the things that I get to do up here, I tell you what, if I had to do this on my own strength, I'd fail miserably. But I really need God. I tell you the truth because me and Moses, we have a lot in common because he said when he was called, I am not an eloquent speaker, neither am I. And if you tell me, you guys tell me like, wow, that was good. And I was like, man, it's like that was God. Because if it was me, it would be so pigeoned out that you would say, like, what did he say? But God can use you when you, you know, when we worship, and sometimes I like to raise my hand, not to, like, bring attention to me or say, I raise my hands, it's like, Lord, I surrender to you, and I surrender to you, so use me to bring you glory. Because without you, I am nothing. I am nothing. You can put away your notes. I would ask the worship team to come up. Would you? We're going to pray, and I'm going to ask you, you know, this strength in our weakness, it only comes from God. And God loves you enough to respect your wishes. He's not going to just enter you, but you need to ask. He is waiting for your permission. You got to say, God, you know what? Here I am. Come into me and live me. And I always like to give each one of you, you may be in your church, the opportunity to gain this new strength by accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And by far, that is the most important decision you can make in this life. So would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins. And I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you over there. Anybody else? You may put your hands down. Lord, you have seen the hands. You have seen the hearts. Lord, and I pray for each one here that in our human weakness, your strength will be displayed. And that you will get all the glory. Not half, not some, but all the glory will belong to you. Because we find power in you. We find power in our weakness. And in our weakness, Lord, let us depend on you. Even if we think we are strong, let us depend on you. Lord, we come to you asking that we gain new strength by the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Give the Lord praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Man, God is so good. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Chiromo of New Hope Christian Fellowship East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street, Kauai. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.